Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Man's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who are wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To good deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Busta, with the absence of Jay, are delighted to welcome along for a debut, Ian Pritchard. Ian, thanks for joining us, mate.
All right, Jay.
Busta, how's things going?
Oh, very good, thanks, very good.
Good stuff. Well, a bit of a low-key affair at Fir Park at the weekend, a 1-0 victory over Hearts, keeps the good results going. Bit of a strange game, Busta, that felt almost kind of like a pre-season friendly at times, not much of an atmosphere, but a good win. And as we go later on, there's been a lot of comments about how we outworked Hearts, we outfought Hearts, which was one of the key things we pointed out about the 6-0 game in January. We were out-battled, we were out-fought, and we were deserved losers in the day. This time, we came out at the right end of the result, and actually, if we'd taken our chances, we could have won much more convincingly.
Yeah, as you say, it was pretty strange, even, you know, right from the off when we started with both Ainsworth and Johnson playing, which is not something we've seen much of this season. And even then, possibly thinking we were going to go a sort of 4-4-2. We went our same sort of way, except for, you know, Skippy had dropped back a wee bit. I thought Skippy was phenomenal, to be honest with you, other than his sitter. I thought he sat in there perfectly. He won tackles when he needed to. You know, he was linking up well with everybody in front of him as well. He was absolutely brilliant. And the most surprising thing about Saturday for me was Hearts, to be honest with you. It was as if, like you said, it was as if it was some sort of post-season friendly. It was as if they had nothing to play for. I know they can, you know, at a stretch they could probably have caught Aberdeen, but Aberdeen had lost the night before. You think they'd maybe be G'd up a wee bit for it and trying to go for it and catch up in a wee bit, but they just seemed to come, you know, thinking they were just going to run about, as I say, in some sort of friendly-esque manner. But I was kind of disappointed by them, but it's good to obviously get the goals, pick up the win, and, as we say, keep going, pushing for this fourth position.
Ian, as I touched on it, it was a bizarre game, but the chances in the second half particularly that we passed up, we could have won that game by a very, very convincing manner and made up for the humiliating loss at the start of the year.
I very much so. I personally thought it should have been easily 3-0. Moog's chance, I was far in the east, so I didn't know if the keeper got a touch to it or not. But then when I watched it on the highlights, he got a good hand to that. So I was a bit amused by when I got a corner for that. And then Skippy's miss as well. He took up pretty much all of the goal to take from, and you know, he never buried it. But you couldn't fault the performance for the guys. I thought, touching on what Buster was saying, Skippy was absolutely outstanding. Every player in the team, the hunger on Saturday, I thought that maybe we might have had a wee bit of a downer after realising that the European place was gone. And I thought Hearts maybe would have had their tails up, knowing that, you know, Aberdeen had got funked the night before. So, the attitude from every single player in the performance, it was exciting to see. It was really good to see, actually.
That's a very good point, Buster. It's it's a rare occasion where you go and see Motherwell and you don't come away thinking, well, such and such played very well, and you maybe rhyme off two or three players and then say, but I was disappointed in such and such and so on and so forth. I can't think of anyone that underperformed on Saturday. It was a very good team performance.
It was, aye. As you say, even just now, as I try and think of someone who, you know, maybe would, no hiding, but someone who maybe would hardly have, as you say, a good game, but everybody was pretty well. I thought McManus was brilliant at the back. Chrissy Cadden, you know, his running is fantastic every game, so you know, it's come to be expected of him that he's up and down like a yo-yo, basically. Louis Moult, again, playing really well, but he's just as you say, you know, he missed a wee bit of a set. It looks like the goalie had a good save, but you can't really fault him for that, I suppose. Stevie Hamill, I thought, was pretty good. Joshua and Keith Lasley both had to go off, you know, half time ish. So, other than them, you know, everybody else sort of passed with flying colours.
Looking now to the final four games of the season, Ian, I know there isn't a great deal at stake in terms of, we'll not claim any honours from, but the chance of fourth place, particularly when you look at the weekend results with Ross County picking up a good point at Celtic Park, a stunning win for St Johnstone against Aberdeen. It's going to be an entertaining battle for that fourth spot.
Ah, definitely. It's going to be tight. Here is, you know, because it's that tight, is the goal difference, where we are in the league compared to, you know, I'm not sure at the level we count with, but I know that we're 6 or 7 behind St Johnstone, I believe it is. So, I mean, that's only fear for me, but I've seen enough on Saturday there, you know, to think that, you know, there's no reason why the boys won't keep the performances going. I've absolutely no fear of going up to Aberdeen. We're away to Aberdeen, aren't we? Yeah, I've no fear of going up there, and we obviously will do well, and as I say, enough saying in that Hearts game there, and there's enough there to show that the boys are up for it for the rest of the season, might even get a wee boost for the under-20s, hopefully winning the cup during the week as well. So, you know, I fancy us to finish strong, and I also fancy us to get the fourth place. It's a little bit disappointing the European place isn't there, but I suppose that's really just that we're the revenge for last season, I suppose.
Bust, Ian touched on the 20s final on Wednesday night. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a chance to see a Motherwell team compete for silverware in a national final. The club have never won the Youth Cup. There's clearly young talent coming through at Firth Park. It's been a good season. You've got guys like Stephen Craigan and Keith Lasley involved in the setup. Two absolute club legends that the supporters love to bits. So there's not much going against the 20s, really, and it would be fantastic to see them. A Motherwell team would record a second victory over Hearts in the space of a couple of days and lift the trophy on Wednesday night.
Heard it, sorry. I just did my cat, sorry, and that's what's put me off there. it'll be good. There's a few going along, so...
Meow.
it'll be good. There's a few years going along, so it'll be good to get out there and see, you know, what the young boys can actually do. I've not managed to see them this season yet. In person, but obviously caught a few of the highlights on the YouTube channel. I don't know if the SPFL have decided we're not allowed to show the young boys' highlights either, but it'll be good to see them in person. Hopefully, as you say, we can come away with the trophy.
Ian, I don't know if you made that long yourself, but it would be good to see, obviously good to see, as many Motherwell supporters that are able to make it, getting along to Hampden and cheering the guys on, because It'll be a huge occasion for everyone that's involved, and they've worked very, very hard to reach that final.
I'll not get along, unfortunately, but it's midweek, to be honest. I thought it would have been appropriate to put it on you know, a Sunday afternoon. You know, you get more in the gate, everybody gets to enjoy it. See a lot of the young boys coming through. So, unfortunately, because of work and things, I'm about to make it, and it's a longer commute for myself being, you know, in Fife. So, I would have went that weekend, but I won't be going. But I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, the chance to win silverware, whether it be, you know, youth level, the women, you know, anybody at all associated with the club, you know, can only spread good vibes. So, you know, fingers crossed the boys can do it, and I'm confident they can.
Earlier on, we caught up with Keith Lasley to preview the game further. Ahead of a massive game for the Motherwell Under-20s on Wednesday evening, they'll take on Hearts in the Youth Cup final. We're delighted to be joined by Motherwell Club captain and coach of the 20s, Keith Lasley. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem, pleasure.
Well, you've experienced playing in a Cup final for Motherwell. What's the similarities in terms of, is there the same kind of tension and nerves as the big night approaches?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be for the boys themselves. Alone, just a chance to play and walk out at Hampden is going to be, you know, it's going to be a great occasion. You know, hopefully, be as big a crowd as we can get there. A decent atmosphere in the stadium as well, which would be good. But you know, I just think that, you know, the achievement of getting to the cup final is great. And as you mentioned, I was lucky enough to play in a final, yet never went as well as we'd like. But I think even just being involved in a cup final is for the build up and to be involved in that sort of thing, I think for the young lads it's going to be great. And you know, for myself personally, and you know, I know Craig himself as well is really looking forward to the match. And you know, it just can't come quick enough now, and the boys are ready to go, and you know, we're preparing well for it. So no, I'm really looking forward to it.
It's good to see the media day today, the guys getting put in front of the camera and coming across really well. It will be an experience in a football side of things, but then there's another side to it as well, isn't there? It's building up exposure for these young guys and giving them a wee bit of training on the other side of the game, which will be very important going forward.
Yeah, well, we hope so. I mean, I think that's part of the kind of bigger plan, if you like. You know, this is obviously an occasion to mark the achievements of the boys. But it's been a tough run to the final. You know, they've played a few of the Premier, you know, under-20 sides. It's not been an easy run. A few away games in there as well. So, a great achievement to get there. But in the final itself will obviously be a great occasion. But, you know, you mentioned there in terms of getting these young guys exposure. And we're obviously hoping this is a stepping stone for a lot of them to use this experience to then... you know, what is the ultimate aim at our club is to try and promote some of these young guys through the 20s into the first team and beyond. So, you know, I think there's been some evidence of that with young Chris Cadden and Ben Hall and Dom Thomas. I know you've seen Ben up doing a little bit of press and things like that today. So, as I said, it's all part of a bigger picture, we hope. And you know, it's certainly something that the boys should enjoy while they're being involved at, being in the spotlight. And you know, hopefully it's a sign of things to come at the club for a lot of these young guys.
You mentioned the guys that have come through to the first team, and a few of them obviously have made it this season, Chris Cadden and Ben Hall. I know Ben recently has been out of the team a wee bit, but there was a bit of talk prior to the Hearts game, and we saw Jordan McGee wasn't playing on Saturday, John Souter was, and the kind of the worry amongst us guys was that our Hearts going to load their team with ringers, so to speak, guys that have played in the first team and are experienced campaigners. Is the plan to go with the guys that have worked so hard to get the team to the final, or is there a wee bit in the back of your minds that Hearts might go for that tactic in order to lift the trophy or to try and win the trophy, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, certainly the message from our side is, you know, we want to win. You know, there's no doubt about that. I mean, we've went through, I think, five or six grueling hard rounds to get there, playing, you know, some good stuff, some tough matches along the way. You know, we don't want to get here and turn up, and yeah, it's going to be a good occasion, and it's going to be, you know, a good occasion for everybody involved, the players themselves, more so than anybody. But we want to win, you know, it's obviously something that the club's not done for a very, very long time. And, you know, hopefully this can be the group of lads that go out and do it. So, we want to do that. We want to put a team on the park as we possibly can. The boys have done great as a squad in the rounds leading up to it. You know, I think Kaz and Ben did play in the kind of earlier rounds, have played some part. So, everybody will be getting considered for the team, everybody that's eligible. So, and we expect Hearts to be the same, to be honest. I think Jordan McGee and the young lad Smith, I think, who plays fullback for Hearts on Saturday, I would certainly expect them to be involved, and possibly John Souter as well. So, I think two teams are taking it very seriously, as I think we should, because we know the prize that's up for stake. And as I said at the start, it's hopefully part of a bigger picture, and we feel as if it's a great stage for any of the young lads that are eligible to go out there and play their. Do their stuff. So, to answer your question, we certainly will be, considering all the guys that are eligible.
There was a bit of chat in the podcast last week, and then I heard Derek Johnson, forgive me for actually listening to him in the first place, and Clyde One earlier on, asking why the game has been played at Hampden, there'd be a poor crowd, and that's not the kind of occasion the young boys will want. After me kind of bleating about how I'm not a big fan of playing games in front of partial crowds at Hampden, I think it's appropriate if it's a final, a national final, that the game is played at Hampden. I suppose the next step is trying to get as many people there as possible. The club have pushed it quite a bit in the last couple of days. I'm sure Hearts will be doing the same. With it being a fiver and £2 to get in, you would just hope that people that can make it get along and make it a special occasion for everyone involved.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, taking the Hampden issue first and foremost, I mean, I couldn't disagree more with what Derek Johnson's saying, to be honest with you. I mean, for me, the prize of that, getting through the rounds that I've talked about, we've been up to Ross County, and we've put out St Johnston, up at Forfar, and all these travels we've been on, the prize for me is to get to Hampden. It's a national final, albeit at a youth level, but for a country that wants to promote our youth players and especially us in Motherwell, to me it should be played at the national stadium. I mean, yeah, we're realistic about the crowd, and it's going to be a small crowd, but then where do you take it? I mean, if you're only going to have a couple of thousand there, is he talking about going to a place where, I don't know where you would play, a place with a very small capacity to try and fill. I don't get that logic, to be honest with you. So, for me, I can tell you from our camp, you ask any of our players individually, and they cannot wait to get to Hampden and have the chance to go out there and play. And I just think it adds that little bit more special to the occasion itself. And even from my own experience, I can remember, you remember the game yourselves, going to play Queen's Park in a cup game there. I think it might have been the League Cup, I think Richie Foran scored a couple of goals anyway. I think we won the game 4-0, but I mean, we went there and played. I think that was my first experience of Hampden, and it wasn't a very big crowd that was there. You know, we had a half-decent crowd from Motherwell at Queen's Park, obviously, maybe only got 300 or 400, but still the experience for me of actually having the chance to go out and play at Hampden was fantastic for me at the time. And that was before we had played in semi-finals and the Scottish Cup final at that point. So just to get a chance to play at Hampden, for me, I remember how special that was for me, and I would hate for our players to be denied that opportunity. And I think again, it's part of the prize, I think, for getting to the final. It should be played there. In terms of the crowd itself, yeah, of course, we just want to try and get as many fans along as we can. And I think, as you said, the club are trying to do that in terms of advertising and the pricing in terms of £5 and £2, I think is great. And hopefully the weather's decent. I know there's maybe some competition on the television which might keep a few away, but I think there's some good football played at this level, and I think at Hampden, if the two teams rise to the occasion, I think it will be a really good match and one that the fans can look forward to.
I would just like to say as well that I disagree with everything Derek Johnson says.
Ever.
Time.
Ever.
Yeah, the guy's a balloon, aye.
Just before you go, Keith, another great result on Saturday keeps the run going. I know there was we can't even call it a blip to lose to the team that are at the top of the league, but the form's been absolutely fantastic from the start of March. You must have been pleased to, after the disappointment perhaps of missing out in Europe through the Scottish Cup results, to continue the momentum and put in a good performance against the Hearts team that have been very good all season and had a very successful first season back in the top flight?
Oh, very much so. I mean, I think it's amazing to think that there genuinely was, I think, a wee bit a tad of disappointment about the possibility of a European place not being there, and I think that shows how far we've come, to be honest, because I can remember, feels like yesterday, where we were, after our result, the first result we were checking was a Dundee United score, you know, and that was the stark reality of it. So, yeah, I think that does show how far we've come, and it's been through hard work, been through, you know, some good football, I think, along the way. And I think Saturday was a good example of both of the things, to be honest. I think it was a performance where we outworked Hearts, and at times outplayed them, and I thought we actually deservedly won the match. So, it's good. I think we're still in good form, although that European place is away. You know, we want to finish strongly. We know it has, financial implications for the club as well, and obviously in an important period for the club as a whole in terms of what's going on off the park. You know, it certainly doesn't do any harm finishing as high up the league, and certainly as a group of players, we are motivated to try and finish as high up as we can, because we feel on our day we can compete with almost anybody in this league, and I think we showed that again on Saturday, and hopefully we can finish with a league position that reflects that belief. We just keep going. I thought we looked hungry again on Saturday to keep going, and hopefully if we can be that team that keeps showing that hunger, then we can pick up a good few more points before the end of the season and try and secure that fourth spot.
Keith, thanks again for joining us. It's been much appreciated, and good luck to all the guys involved on Wednesday night. Let's bring the trophy back to Fir Park.
Yeah, let's do that, guys. And I'll certainly pass on to the guards and the guys for the podcast to the players. And yeah, hopefully we can get as many fans along there as possible and cheer the boys on, because they deserve it. They've had a good season, really good season under Craig so far. And this would just be the icing on the cake, to be honest. So yeah, let's do it, and really look forward to it. So thanks again.
And to preview the weekend's game against Aberdeen, we were joined by Richard Hay of the By the Men Aberdeen podcast.
Ahead of Saturday's trip to Pittodrie, we're delighted to welcome along again Richard Hay of the By the Men Aberdeen podcast. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm hoping it kind of works out better than the last time I joined you.
Well, we're thinking completely the opposite, it must be said. A very surprisingly flat performance from you guys at the weekend, and I suppose that does all but end the dream of the title, which has been a fantastic season in terms of pushing Celtic so close. But is there a wee bit of regret, given that Celtic have stumbled in so many occasions?
It's more than a wee bit, to be honest, Andy. I mean, in fairness, I think after the defeat at Tynecastle pre-split, I think most of us knew that was that then, especially after Celtic went to Fir Park the next day and won 2-1. And, Celtic, for all that they have dropped points here and there, they have only lost one game to a side other than us all season so far. And as you'll remember, that was yourselves at Parkhead back in December. So, you know, their points tally is relatively consistent with what the league leaders have had over the past decade. We started off like a train, obviously, but our form since then has been much, much closer to the pack than it has been to Celtic. So, you know, they're going to be worthy winners. But there was a bit of regret that we weren't able to certainly maintain that sort of level of performance we had for the first couple of months of the season, to maintain that a little bit longer. And certainly there's been, in the last few performances, last few away performances in particular, there's been a lot of concerning displays from key men in our team.
That's it. I think possibly it's perhaps been exaggerated, the fact that Aberdeen have slipped up and there's been questions over the bottle of the team and so on. Is the significance of that, do you believe, that you obviously know Rangers are going to be back in the top flight next season. There's a lot of talk that it's going to be back to the usual two-horse battle. Do you think that's been quite a lot, quite a big reason for the criticism aimed at Aberdeen, particularly from the press here, which I'm sure you'll have seen quite a bit of it over the last couple of months?
I don't know about that. What I would say is if we'd had a situation all season with two teams within a couple of points of each other, and those two teams have been Celtic and Rangers, then the Glasgow press would have been an absolute fever pitch about our title race and how exciting it was. Whereas, you know, the fact that it was us who was within a couple of points, we were, you know, it was a fairly faintly patronising attitude towards us. And as it turned out, we haven't delivered. So, you know, they've been proved right, but there's a very much a difference in perception, I think, between Celtic Rangers and the rest of us.
Yeah, I can't disagree there. Obviously, the massive question now, I suppose, for Derek McInnes and the board at Aberdeen, can they rebuild and build a team capable of challenging the so-called Big Two and preserve Aberdeen's place at the top end of the table, or do you go back to the team that were struggling at the other end? It's been a very patchy, shall we say, last 10, 15 years. You're enjoying, I suppose, a relative period of success, two second place finishes back to back. I guess it's now either sustaining that or pushing one step beyond.
Yeah, I mean, there's been the usual kind of internet message board vast overreaction to the last couple of defeats. You have people calling for McInnes's head, people with very, very short memories that can't recall some of the imposters that we've had in the dugout. At Pittodrie over the past few years, and included amongst that list, obviously, is the current Fir Park manager as well. So, you know, I think we've got to appreciate where we've come from. There's been disappointments this season. The cup display is obviously... Cups are always going to be a more likely source of success than in the league, just because of the resource difference between us and Celtic. So those performances have been a worry. We'll have Europe again. I mean, the first game in Europe kicks off on the 30th of June. So there'll be no gap whatsoever. We'll be straight into football again. There'll be no time to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll have to be up and ready for those games and hopefully make a decent fist of it again. I mean, it remains a very, very tough route to do anything significant starting in round one. But that's where we are, and I'd far rather be there than not be there.
The usual kind of Aberdeen digs at Mark McGee came into play there again. He must have been slightly impressed, though, by the way that he has picked up things at Motherwell and fourth in the league when we spoke. Back in November, no one could have possibly imagined the upturn in Motherwell's fortunes.
And I think what this just proves is that Mark McGee is a very capable SPFL manager, and that sometimes you get a combination of a manager and a club at a particular time and situation that just doesn't work. And literally from the minute Mark McGee stepped in the door at Pittodrie, it wasn't working. I mean, in his very first press conference, he was all, you know, "Oh, I wish I'd got the Celtic job," which obviously didn't really endear himself too much to the patrons around here. And it just never seemed to gel. I mean, he had a fair rebuilding exercise to embark upon when he stepped in the door. And it never really got going at Pittodrie. It never really happened for him. Whereas, you know, obviously he's had a few years out. Didn't really work from down in Bristol either. But, you know, part of me is glad to see him do well again, to be perfectly honest. He certainly didn't deserve the hate that's routinely spewed at him. I mean, we'll sort of gently chide him on our podcast from time to time, but really, he is, especially for that generation of fans that don't remember him as a player, he is pretty loathed at Pittodrie. And I know that a percentage of your support when he moved on as well treated him pretty poorly as well. So he's a man that seems to polarise opinion, shall we say.
Buster, we've discussed McGee at great length on a weekly basis since his appointment back in October. Now we get to the end of the season, Ronnie Dyer's departing Celtic on the back of what the Celtic support and the Celtic board view as a lack of results in terms of Europe and cup competitions. Derek McInnes hasn't managed to fulfil his aim of delivering the league title at Aberdeen. Mark McGee might actually come into the reckoning as a potential Scottish Premiership Manager of the Year, given the way that he has turned things around here.
Well, if you look at where we were when he took over and where we are now, possibly where we finish, you know, I think that we could certainly see the reasons behind that if there was any sort of nomination, but I don't think there's any danger of that, to be honest with you. He's definitely, you know, turned things around right on their head here. It's basically the same group of guys that he's got that, you know, the last manager had. I think the only one he's brought in would be Morgado Gomez, who, you know, a lot of people aren't taking to very well at the moment, but other than that, it's the same group of guys we had. So, as I say, you know, he's done really, really well for us. You know, and it'd be great to see him get some sort of mention, you know, because there's not a chance he would win it, but it'd be great to see that happen, but I don't think that would even happen, to be fair.
I agree with that, what Buster's saying. I think, if anything, if it was going to be an outside event, we'd probably be looking at somebody along the lines of Robbie Neilson, just clearly because he's brought them up and the consistency that they've had and position that they're at, you know, that they're in at the moment. I feel that he'd probably be, you know, more of an outside bet than McGee, but, you know, I can see what you're saying as well, Andy. The fear that I've got is that Rangers coming up next season, I mean, if there's any time for splitting, you know, getting a new champion to win the league this year, I would have said that this season would have been, you know, the best opportunity for anybody. The fear is now that Rangers come up next season, and I don't know if I speak for, you know, everybody here, but I'd hate to see them come straight back up and, you know, to win that league. That would be a bit more of my work.
Oh no! I mean, the ideal scenario is they come back up and get relegated in the first season. We absolutely. Looking ahead, Richard, to the game, we've talked for 9 minutes and not even mentioned that the two teams play on Saturday. The fixture at Tynecastle could decide or could dictate that Celtic have won the league come 3 o'clock when the game kicks off. That would put a bit of distance between yourselves and Hearts and basically secure second place for yourselves. Is that the goal just now? Is it just kind of consolidating that second place and then what will be type scenario?
I mean, the season's done pretty much. If Hearts end up catching us, it's a big disappointment, obviously, but ultimately it doesn't change that much in terms of where we enter in Europe or anything like that. I mean, I tell you something, we did our podcast earlier and we spoke about the game against St Johnstone on Friday and then spoke to our guest, didn't even mention the Motherwell game. It's reaching that low on our horizon right now. Equally, when you got in touch with me this evening about coming on the podcast, I was like, why do they want it? It took me a couple of seconds to recognise that we were actually playing this weekend. We're looking at next season already, in all honesty. If there's a good time to play us, it's
going to
be now.
Yeah, I'd say that I was very surprised at how poor Hearts were on Saturday, but you would have thought that they wouldn't have downed tools and they would have still perhaps seen an opportunity to catch Aberdeen. Were you quite surprised that that wasn't the case? Robbie Neilson was hugely critical of Hearts' display on Saturday.
I mean, that Motherwell's not, at the moment, a very difficult place to go. I mean, it's since the turn of the year, if you look at the points per game, as I said earlier, Aberdeen are much, much closer to the pack than, and I'm saying pack, but Aberdeen are much, much closer to, like, Hearts, Motherwell, Dundee. They've all got a much the same points per game ratio as we have, and Celtic are out in front. So there's not a huge deal between those sides at the moment. And certainly on a game-by-game basis, if players don't turn up, if players aren't really wired in and ready for it, then again, we're at the stage with a lot of teams where any one side can beat the other and it's not too much of a shock. But Hearts, for their first season back, have done really well. I don't know how much more room there is for them to really push on from the position they're in. But we'll see. We'll see where they get to next year.
Richard, thanks again for your time. We particularly enjoy you coming on and then beating Aberdeen on the Saturday. So hopefully that trend will continue and we'll have you on before the next time the teams play. If you guys win on Saturday, then you're never coming back.
If that happens, I'm definitely not coming back on again. But thank you very much, guys.
No worries, mate. Keep up the good work with your own podcast. Thanks.
Cheers. Good night.
Buster, we kind of talked before we started recording. Luckily, we've had Richard Hay join us, Keith Lasley previewing the final on Wednesday night. There isn't a great deal else going on at this time of the season. It's kind of, things seem to be winding down and we're getting round about the stage where there'll be the Cup anniversary celebrations. And I've discussed this a few times before. I still get a wee bit frustrated by how we seem to overdo it when it comes to these things. The team in 91 are all club legends and rightfully so, but there's three or four events to mark the 25th anniversary. I'm pretty sure there was events to mark the 20th, the 15th. Is it ever going to stop? Do we need to? Well, maybe we need to put too much pressure on these young boys if they win the Youth Cup and demand they win the Scottish Cup next year. I would prefer that we celebrated the achievements of the first team this season. I noticed they've merged the sponsors' night in with the night at Bodwell for the Cup anniversary dinner. I just prefer that we celebrated the present rather than somewhat dwelling in the past a bit too much. I feel like I might be coming across as a bit arsey and a bit harsh, but I just see all the stuff about the 1991 final celebrations. I think 25 years have passed. We need to, if it was another team. In fact, we're talking when Richard was on. You think of the success of Aberdeen in the 80s, and quite rightfully so, Aberdeen fans are mocked for going on about past successes a bit too much. Are we guilty of doing the same here?
Well, I think it's all a matter of personal opinions. Much like yourself, to be honest with you, I think that, you know, we maybe do go a bit far, to be fair. That being said, though, as I say, you know, if there's people willing, you know, to, or wanting at least to go to these things, dinners, the, you know, whatever else is on, sorry, that, you know, that's their bag, that's fine. I'm not going to stop them for doing that. But as you say, you know, people, and as you say, quite rightly so, whether it be Aberdeen fans in the 80s or whenever there's an international summer tournament like the Euros coming up, you know, England fans or England TV pundits will mention things like 1966. And again, as you say, it's not far off what we're doing just now, to be fair. So I'm of the same sort of personal opinion yourself that, you know, it's done. It was fantastic. I was only a wee boy at the time, but, and I remember being there. I remember how great it was. I remember even how, you know, chuffed my failure was. So it's great, and it's great to look back on those memories. But, you know, I don't think the things like the dinners and that are for me, unfortunately.
I think, you know, if there's a market, I mean, I know what you're both saying, and I agree as well, but I think that there's still a market, and as Buster said, that there's still people willing to, you know, part with their hard earned, and, you know, fair play to them. And, if, you know, if it means that the club gets a wee bit extra revenue, or the revenue goes to, you know, it's, you know, something productive, whether it be the youth, or, you know, anything like that, then, you know, that's probably one of the positives that you can get out of it. However, you know, it would be a bit hypocritical for us to stand here and point the finger and laugh at Aberdeen every time when, you know, we're only got 2 years off the 80s. So whenever our last success was, I know it was a good team as well.
Even at that, you know, I mean, as you know, Sparra, for getting to talk to players from the past, that in itself can be fantastic. So if there's people going along, you know, to have a word with one or two of their heroes, again, fantastic. That'd be absolutely brilliant. So it's, as we say, you know, it's up to them.
I can't stress enough that I'm not knocking in any way the success and how massive an achievement that was. We've only won the Scottish Cup twice in our history, so it's a massive thing. But yeah, we play in it every year. So since then, we've lost in 24, in fact, we've possibly lost in 25 Scottish Cups in consecutive years since then. So it's just, I would think with all the events that have went previously, most people will have spoken to the Steve Kirks, the Colin O'Neills, and so on and so forth that were involved in it. Yeah, I can imagine for the guys that played in that day, the nostalgia, it must be brilliant to discuss it and remember that fantastic day. But I just think we overdo it a wee bit, and to hear that the events were being combined with what effectively is the club player of the year type event, it feels like the guys in the current team might be getting a bit overshadowed, and I think that's a bit unfair, particularly when these guys are our assets and the ones that we need to be maybe playing to their egos a wee bit and tell them how good they are and how wanted and how valued they are, because we want these guys playing at Fir Park next season and hopefully bringing success to the club.
Well, I didn't know, for example, I didn't even know it was being merged with the sort of Player of the Year sponsors night. So what does that tell you about the interest for it then?
I don't know. It could be argued that the sponsors do is maybe not at the same uptake, but I would imagine that the sponsors do is attended only by those that sponsor the club over the season and the guys' jerseys. Which
I might be talking, completely about my arse here, but if they're merging it, here's seen it from outside the box. Maybe they're merging it and putting some, they know they've got a good team together in it, and they're maybe putting it there, maybe psychologically trying to get through the players, how much a big deal it was, and maybe get them fired up for it. It might be a good game, you could think about, but it could be something like that.
There's many ways of looking at it. Absolutely, the thing that I was quite surprised when I read it, and I was following various people on Twitter talking about it, and particularly those that there is a situation where a few of the guys have sponsored players, so they were getting a ticket to the sponsors' do at the end of the season. They'd already bought a ticket to the anniversary dinner at Bothwell, and you can imagine they might be a wee bit peeved that they've now got the £60 has been spent on something they would have normally got into for nothing. But hopefully, I'm sure the club will find a way to sort that. You just don't want to see things like that fall on their face either.
Again, as I say, it possibly could be. If they're merging these two things together, there's maybe something they're working right at either one of them. What it would be, I don't know, to be honest with you. But as you say, it's one of those things, and I think if there's interest for it, it's more than welcome. I don't think there's any point in, putting on anything after this sort of 25th anniversary. I've never heard them celebrating a 27th anniversary or anything like that. So
let's hope we don't have to have a 50th one.
That's exactly it as well, isn't it? But I don't think you'll see much more of this in the next few years anyway. It's 25th, maybe it's time to put it to bed, as you says, but I'm sure if there's anybody interested, these things will always be about, and as long as it's no Tom Boyd, it'll be good to talk to all your heroes. And there goes the chance of Tom Boyd ever coming on here.
Aye, sorry Tom if you're listening. Definitely not listening. The next couple of weeks, we'll definitely be giving a shout out to the guys at Patterson Trophy Supplies, who, as we've mentioned previously, have very generously given us two fantastic trophies for the podcast Player of the Year, Lou Moult, and Young Player of the Year, Chris Cadden. They'll be presented at the St Johnston game on the 7th of May. We're hoping to have these guys along while the presentation's taking place. We'll be mentioning them on Twitter and Facebook as much as we possibly can. Next week I'll be more prepared and I'll actually have the number as well. I know we'll be getting to the end of the season for guys running kids' boys' clubs and stuff like that. So they're the people that you want to go and see because they're fantastic and we really appreciate the support. And that'll be another good event, Buster, won't it? Just generally the chance to shake Louis Molt's hand and maybe even share a beer with him.
And maybe not wash my hand for the next couple of years now, something like that. As you said, it'll be a fantastic day, I'm sure. You know, we'll drink as much as we can. And obviously we'd like to win at the football as well, but I'm sure by the time the drink's gone, we'll know and remember what the score was. And as you said, it's fantastic. The Partisans have decided to help us out with the trophies again. I know they did last year as well, so... It's fantastic that they're that generous and that forthcoming with us, so thanks very much to them. And as you say, keep your eye on the Facebook page because we'll certainly be sticking up a link to their Facebook page as well, so give that a wee like as well.
Ian, you're unfortunately too late to get a vote for the Player of the Year, but I doubt it came as much surprise for came up trumps in that vote.
No, I'm not surprised at that. I mean, there was a good few contenders. I mean, I think... Conor Ripley, you know, as I mentioned, but you know, but the all round, not just you know on the park, I think you know really more, he's just brilliant. You know, without sounding too much of a fanboy, he's just the man. He just conducts himself really well. You know, the fact that he's so good and he interacts with the social media side of things, a lot of fans you know take to that. I don't know what it feels like doing that, but I mean, that's a big, massive thing, the interaction between, you know, so, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, younger fans and things, it gets them more interesting. But I mean, you know, his goals this season, his mock rate, you know, you can't mock it, he's been absolutely brilliant and he's a worthy winner.
There's a massive faux pas on my part, because I've just come in from work and I'm working without any notes whatsoever, as if I'm normally prepared, I'm not. The inclusion of Craig Sampson, Buster, in the starting 11 on Saturday came as a bit of a surprise, particularly after there were stories in the press that Ripley might be open to spending next season on loan as well, depending on what the circumstances are at Middlesbrough. That kind of suggests the fact that he's given Sampson his go. I know he hadn't played at all prior to that, that Ripley will be on his way out, and Sampson perhaps being prepared for a future as number one.
Well, it's been a possibility all along, hasn't it? You know, we've always said, you know, it came to the club in sort of strange conditions. You know, he was number two at, I think, was it Kilmarnock? Sorry, aye?
Yeah.
He was number two there. He came to us because he didn't want to sit on the bench. He sat on the bench for us, so it was kind of strange. But you know, as you say, he came in on Saturday, quite cheap. You know, that's all you can ask for, I suppose. He had one or two decent saves, and he flapped a bit across as well. But as you said, Conor Ripley as well. You know, I think he's wanting to go back home. He seems to be a big Borough fan, I think, as well. I'm not actually too sure if he is, but I've seen him on you know Twitter and that. Obviously, try to edge them on towards the, you know, the championship title. But I think he just wants to go down there, try get his, you know, try and put his gloves in the mix, basically for the first team place there. But as you see, I'm not too sure how close he is. I know they've got a Greek goalie, a Spanish goalie, and a guy on loan for AC Milan this season. So that's obviously why he's come up here this year. But you know, come the summer, if we have to stick with Sampson, you know, he's done it a four at this level. You know, how good he is, I'm not too sure myself. There's a bit of sort of a... I know you were saying on Saturday, sorry, you know, he's sort of proven at this level, he can be a decent enough goalkeeper. And I think me and Jay were sort of, you know, squinting at you and saying, is he really, though? I don't really know about him. So, whether or not we have to start with him next season, who knows?
Mark McGee said prior to the game on Saturday and that when you get a player in loan, one of the main aims of the club receiving the player is that they give back to the parent club a player that's better. There's no doubt that Conor Ripley has well returned to Middlesbrough a better player. I think even physically, he looks a lot fitter. He's, I don't want to say he was overweight when he joined, but he was just maybe slightly out of shape. His physicality's improved a great deal. His confidence has improved a great deal. McGee says that his attitude on the training field's improved tenfold in recent times. So that will only encourage teams to loan players out to Motherwell in the future. And if we get a goalkeeper as good as Conor Ripley out the deal, then that's a great thing for the club.
I definitely. I mean, it all it's doing is continuing a fairly lucky trend that we've had with goalkeepers. You know, you know, if you look back the last few seasons with Randall, Ruddy, and obviously Ripley that's in just now. You know, it doesn't have to be you know, just a loan for a goalkeeper, loan for any players at all. You know, they're pretty much, you know, spell it out to any player that comes up here that, you know, if you come on loan, you're coming here because you're selling yourself. And we've been lucky, certainly in the last few seasons, where a lot of the players that we've brought in, you know, the way that we've taken to the fans, and I'm primarily talking about Conor Ripley this year as well. I mean, he's come up here and, you know, you would never think he was a loan player. You would think he was a Motherwell fan. You know, the way he goes about his business. And I agree with what you're saying about how much he's improved. I mean, at the start of the season, you could tell. And he still has to be a little bit raw, but his confidence, I think his positioning has completely, you know, come on leaps and bounds as well. Short stopping, you know, he's been absolutely brilliant. If he was to go away, you go with, you know, the best wishes from all the Motherwell fans. But there's plenty of, you know, goalkeepers out there, whether it be a loan deal for somebody. You know, Samson seemed to be, you know, for what we've seen him on Saturday anyway, you know, a decent understudy. I mean, I'm not sure whether he's a number one, but certainly someone that I think has been one of the better backup goalkeepers, and, you know, based on, you know, the small amount of time that we've seen, you know, that we've had in the last few seasons.
Yeah, he certainly did. He's caused no harm on Saturday with first game, first clean sheet. So 100% record. We'll see how that goes and whether he does remain in goal for the final four games. No remember well question this week. Jay is absent with, well, he first said he had tonsillitis, then revealed he had no tonsils. So we're not sure what his issues are. He's no well, basically. We'll roll that question over to next week. It was greatest bits of football commentary that you can remember. There's plenty involving Motherwell. It doesn't have to be a Motherwell one, though, and I'm sure we'll get a few good submissions, if we've not already. We'll wrap things up for this week. And firstly, thanks very much, Ian, for coming on. I hope you've enjoyed it. We certainly have, and we'll have you on soon.
Any bother, lads. It's been good. Thanks for having us on.
No bother. Thanks very much for coming.
Buster, thanks as always.
Aye, no bother, mate. Thanks very much for having me as well.
Hi. Whether we'll continue with that theme is up for debate at the moment. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
nothing but the clouds and her mix. She wasn't too bright, but after damn, when she kissed me, she knew how to get a kick.